Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Aloha, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, hallelujah. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. I'm in Tennessee, right here at Straight Way in the Tabernacle, and my beloved friend and mother of Christ, hallelujah, mother in Christ, Sister Jennifer is with us as well. Sister Jennifer and Mother Jennifer is in Georgia. So I greet you. Please give us a sound check. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Blessings to you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray everybody can hear me. And thank you for having me on tonight. And I just look forward to the conversation that is going to go forward. I think I see tens in the chat room, Sister Ashley, so we're good to go.
Hallelujah. Looking forward to this weekend with the Dry Bones Conference happening, and looking forward to just even hearing word that our shepherd has touched down safely, him and his family, everyone who travels. Thank you to everyone who has been big support this weekend that we've long patiently waited. especially those of you who are there. So we have no intentions of keeping everybody tonight. Thank you so much for the honor of tuning in. Bless each of you in the precious name of Jesus, Mama Monty, Mama Deidre, Mama Jaja, Mother JC. Bless you all. So I must acknowledge the Father. I thank him for all his ways that are higher than my ways, his ways that are above my ways. I thank him and glorify him for his goodness, for always being mindful of each of us, of myself, of my family, of warning, of his love, his gentleness, never forsaking, never abandoning. He is so good to me. I thank him. I thank him for my husband, who is a really sound and stable presence in my life. Y'all are always going to hear me say that. I just can't move from those words. He really is unmovable, unshakable. He's awesome to hear, speak, listen to, conversate with. He has, you know, just insight, really good direction. He's not a man of many words, but his words are really meaningful, really powerful. I love our conversation. I love his, you know, his direction for me. And I'm very thankful to our shepherd, who has always loved me. He has unconditional love for me. It doesn't matter. It'll never, ever be in question from my heart to his. I love how he stands for righteousness. I love how he drives and pushes Israel to be holy. I'm thankful to be in his flock, in the care of our shepherd. I'm thankful to just to know him, to know his family. Blessings and peace to everyone who calls upon the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, everyone he's touched, everyone he's healed, everyone who is obeying him with fear. Thank you so much for your obedience to your husbands, to the shepherd, for your offerings, for your letters of support, and for the Be a Blessing things that are slowly starting to come in. Thank you so much for even watching that video on our channel. If you haven't seen it, check out the Be a Blessing on YouTube, and you can see some of the needs that we have asked. If you're able to send or bring, if you are, please call us, let us know, and we will tell you live on this show or even on the Straightway Home Meets channel that we are no longer in need of some of those items. So we keep a running tally of those things. The things that were sent for Pesach, Passover, last Passover that was not held by us, we sent them to a location patiently awaiting you to return. So thank you for the things that are coming in now. Thank you, thank you, thank you abundantly. Sister Sonia Crago, you come to my mind. So bless you. Bless your husband for me. Tell him thank you for looking out for our shepherd. And thank you, Sister Bridget, Brother Gideon. Bless everyone for your time. Like I said, we don't plan on being here long so that we can, hey, stay tuned to Facebook Live or any other connection that we might have to the Dry Bones Conference kicking off. So Mother Jennifer, your words.
Hallelujah. First, I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his loving commitment towards us, that he, the fact that he never, ever breaks covenant with us. I'm so thankful that he's placed his spirit inside of us and that he does not take lightly the covenant that he's formed with each and every one of us. I'm so thankful, Sister Ashley, you said that his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours, but, you know, he teaches us those ways, that he's so patient with us. And I'm honored that he allows patience to have its perfect work in us, in each and every one of us. I want to acknowledge my elder, my head, Elder Rufus, as he's away attending the Dry Bones Conference. I miss him very much. I love him dearly. And I'm really excited for what Yah is going to do, not only in him and through him, but also with our shepherd as well, everyone that's attending, you know, to Elder Rufus for being such a sound, stable, strong presence in my life as well, and for his stance for righteousness. It will never, ever be forgotten, and I always learn something new every single day from him because of his walk with Yah. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for his love for us women, for truly teaching us how to be women, how we need to be performing our roles. It's just something that we've never known before. You know, the pastors that we've had in Christianity have never, ever shown this type of love to us at all. So I'm grateful, definitely grateful to be in such a ministry as this. And bless you, Brother Steve. I see you in the chat room. Thank you so much for everything you and our dear Sister Wenda do behind the scenes. There's so many people that do things behind the scenes, and they don't expect or ask for a thank you. They don't ask for anything in return. And just know that your labor is not in vain. Brent and Sonia Crago comes to mind as well. And blessings to you, and we love you all. And that's all I have.
You beat me to Brother Steve. I was going to greet him as well, Brother Ugly, Brother Steve, Sister Wenda. Thank you, Northern Tribes, for all you do. And honestly, each of you, you make it to our minds often. Everyone who listens, everyone who supports, everyone who's in our network, you really do. You are on the minds of the saints, on land, off land. We're a tight-knit family, so I just appreciate knowing each and every one of you. I really just want to ask any of you if you have questions. Like I said, it won't be or it shouldn't be a long show unless that's what you all desire. If you have questions literally about anything, anything from hormones to emotions to your husband, your role, deliverance, now's your chance, now's your time. So we're just opening up guest call-ins 310-982-4226. Bless you, Sister Aya, Sister Adele, bless you, your husband, everyone who's scattered abroad, Sister Hannah in Kenya, bless you. So I don't know, is there a announcement or even just a quick conversation to kick off tonight? Mother Jennifer, if you'll start, and we'll see if anybody calls in. We'll see how it flows. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, there was a question that I think came into the email, and I wanted to go ahead and get started with that because I thought it was a really, really good question. If you wanna read that, or actually, I'll go ahead and ask you, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts on it because I think it's really good. But there was a sister that was asking about the mindset that you need to have when you are looking to be healed. So when you are desiring healing, what is the mindset? What is really important as far as the mindset is concerned so that you can receive the healing that you need to? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. What is required for the mindset to receive the healing that you need? Wow, that's a really good question. You can kind of take it any direction. You know, oftentimes whatever you're bound by is the opposite of what you need to manifest anyway. You know, if you're bound by pride, you need to manifest humility. If you're bound by fear, you need to manifest trust. You know, so your mindset is going to literally have to be the exact opposite of what you're familiar with manifesting. So search your own self and know what is, you know, being presented to your mind that is not of the kingdom of Yah, and really just walk out on the water, go against it, you know, really not being in such a rush for freedom, but really knowing that your freedom will come, you know, really resting in the battle, if that makes sense. Yes, being aggressive, yes, going after the voices and denying them and casting down evil thoughts and imaginations, yes, but you are victors in Christ Jesus, so you really have to have the mind that says, I will be victorious. This is not going to rule and reign over me. I'm not going to accept this defeat. I'm not going to always manifest this in my flesh or whatever is going on inside of you that you want to be healed from. Is that a good start, Mother Jennifer?
It is, Sister Ashley. It's very good. And, you know, there's always something that the Father is wanting us to learn when we're dealing in the area of healing. You know, sometimes when healing does not happen right away, there's something in it that we have to learn so that we don't repeat the same patterns that got us into the situation of needing to be healed. So if I have something going on in my body and I've caused it myself physically from, you know, doing something wrong, he's going to want me to understand and learn what I've done so that I don't end up in that same situation with my body. Because after he's healed me, you know, he always says, go and sin no more. You know, so we're instructed to go and sin no more, to not end up in that same state, that same mindset, whatever it was that had gotten me to that position. Let's talk about faith, Sister Ashley. You know, sometimes we go for healing and we ask for prayer and we get the prayer that we need, and we patiently wait for the healing. But how do you keep the attitude of faith while waiting to be healed, or even knowing that you're healed? You know, tell me how that mindset works.
Hey, I'm waiting on a wonderful phone call that I just received a text from. So I am, I'm going to kind of answer you, but I know a better answer is coming, if that makes sense. So hallelujah.
Absolutely.
So faith, you know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. So you, how do I say it? You need a little evidence that says, I'm going to be healed. So use the word, you know? You need a little evidence that's going to help you believe because you're not seeing right. You're not thinking right. So look for evidence. It's there. What's right in front of me that I'm denying? Hallelujah. Let's go to the phone calls. Got an area code 615 coming up. Hallelujah. Welcome to the show. This is Sister Ashley, as you know. Hello. You're live. Can you hear me? 615?
All right. Hey, bless y'all, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley.
Bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom, my shepherd. Hallelujah.
All right. Hey, I want to go ahead and answer that question here, or at least put in my little two-cent work in reference to that question. And what was the question again? Something about how do you... what mindset do you need to have in order to receive healing, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, so since we're down here in Dallas and we're having a meeting coming up, I can tell everybody exactly the type of mindset that they need. The type of mindset that they need is that they need to be, number one, believing. Number two, they need to have the mindset of expectation. And then number three, they need to be able to cast down all doubts and unbelief. And I'll explain it for a second. The Bible teaches us in John 8 that Satan is the father of lies. And anything that people try to believe Yah for healing for, you better believe that whenever you try to make an attempt to believe, the first thing he's going to do is start throwing up doubts and unbeliefs in your heart in reference to that, because he's the father of lies. That's how he communicates to our minds. And so even if when you're healed, a lot of times people, when they're getting hands laid on them and they're healed, the first thing he does is put a doubt in mind, well, it didn't work or something like that, because, again, he is the father of lies. He's supposed to do that. It's kind of like when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first thing Satan did was he came to us and he said, well, you ain't got the Holy Spirit. And that's when you automatically knew you had it, because when you didn't have the Holy Spirit, he never said anything like that. Never even cast one doubt or anything. So you have to believe. You have to come expecting. You have to have a heart of expectation. As a matter of fact, you should already have yourself pumped and primed and ready to receive from Jesus Christ way before the healing even takes place. So that way you can deal with your heart to be able to receive, because in this world that we're living in, most people don't see too much of the hand of Yah nowadays, because in this world, there's so much unbelief and there's so much doubt. There's so much unbelief and there's so much doubt. So remember, if you can believe, all things are full to them that believe. Believe is more than mental assent to. It's also believing with the heart, believing exactly what the word says and standing on it. And that's where the war starts. Anytime there's something that comes contrary to what that word says, to try to steal the word out of your heart, that's the spirit that's enticing you to shortchange you from receiving your healing or from receiving your deliverance. And so you have to believe. And, of course, last but not least, which really is the first, before you can even think about receiving any type of healing and deliverance, you have to first accept him as Master, Savior, and Yah, and you have to be repentant. You have to be in a state of repentance so that Yah can come and clean you up. So those are the steps: believing, having expectation, and casting down all unbelief and doubt if you really truly want to receive healing or deliverance. All right, bless y'all. That wonderful show.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. Hey, that's wonderful that he would even be listening in or that he would even call to give an answer to that email while he's got dry bones on his mind. I'm looking very forward to hearing about that conference, about what's going on. I hope someone in his house is going to give me updates. I'm really thankful for that. Great answers, Mother Jennifer. Anything from your heart?
Very, very good answer. You know, Pastor Dow spelled it out perfectly, the believing, the expectation, and really casting down the doubt and the unbelief. And he even talked about how there's so much doubt and so much unbelief that we have ministering to our minds. And he said that twice, sisters. If you really listened, he brought that up twice, you know, about doubt and unbelief. So that really is something that has to be overcome. And, you know, I pray that those that are going to the Dry Bones Conference, that you really take to heart what the shepherd has just talked about, what he has just said. When we went to Florida, there was such a great expectation, and you could tell that the expectation in the hearts of the people were so great because the Father was able to really move in such power. And it really was needed. It was truly a beautiful thing. And I believe the same thing or even greater can happen at this conference. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't always know our next week's show, but hopefully we can hear great reports. Hallelujah. And, you know, the account comes to my mind when he was speaking about just believing and expecting and casting down doubt about the woman that was diseased with an issue of blood. I know we've read it. I know you probably have, Matthew 9. But Jesus said, let me put it this way, the woman, okay, who's diseased. Now, if you put yourself in that type of situation, this is a year after year after year. You're challenged with every kind of doubt. You know, will there ever be an end? You know, so you face a lot when it's the one that's happening, you know, it's the thing that's happening to you. And so she literally comes behind him and just touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. She's healed because she touches it. She's made whole because she touches it. But because he says, be a good comfort, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. You know, the act was important. Reaching out, touching the garment was important. That was her requirement. But she was expressing how desperate she truly was. And so, hey, if you're going to be there, you're going to be listening to a shepherd, and you want to be touched, you want to be healed, and that's just one of the verses that you can really you know, look at. You can kind of flip through the Gospels and find those accounts of healing and let it become your reality. Really, really believing and relying on Yeshua to make himself known to you. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. There's endless healing in his wings. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. So I really love that. I really love that story. And so if you don't have the belief, but you have the expectation, you spend the next 24 hours really longing for that belief, really, really replacing those doubts. So I think it was a very timely email, timely question, great response from our shepherd. And Mother Jennifer, anything else?
Yes, Sister Ashley, I want to ask you something else because I hear this a lot, this question that comes up a lot. When you are facing healing, you know, and you're desiring healing, let's just talk about the issue of blood. I had dealt with an issue of blood a while back, and this thing was going on for years. And I had hands laid on me by Elder Rufus, Pastor Corey, Sister Gabby, Pastor Dow. You know, the list goes on. So, Sister Ashley, I want you to explain this. You know, some people think that it's a lack of faith if you're going from, you know, person to person. Hey, can you lay hands on me? You know, it's really not a lack of faith at all. It's actually you're continuing to take steps of faith. But can you talk about how unbelief can even minister to you in that, you know, when you're continually searching for healing continually, how unbelief can minister to you, but it's really not unbelief.
Right. You have to believe during unbelief. Does that even make sense? You have to believe You have to believe all things and believe that the Father will touch you no matter what you see, no matter what you feel. You just know that you know that you know He's mighty. He can do it. He's going to do it. And you're so determined. Here's the requirement that you need to meet. You know, sometimes you might say, I don't want to get too far from the question either, so help me bring it back in a moment, Mother Jennifer. But sometimes you might say, you know, what's my requirement? What do I got to do? And you might be really, you know, really driven to fast or to pray or to read or to submit, you know, to your husband or whatever area it is that you may believe you're lacking. But if you're not given a direction, if you just don't know, then apply all of it. Apply all of it. Keep doing what you're doing and keep your belief. So if you know, of course you don't want to waste someone's time, but if I tell you you don't want to waste someone's time in getting them to lay hands on you, guess what? You don't want to let that word that I just gave you plant a seed of doubt in you either. Like, you got to have faith to yourself. That's what the word says. Any man has faith, let him have it to himself. So I know when I go before this man of Yah, he's going to touch me and this is going to happen. I know it is. Doesn't matter what I feel, what it feels like, etc. So you just hold on to your belief. You hold on to it. And then you meet each and every requirement. So you're not foolishly going around seeking someone to be the one to heal you when you're not meeting the requirements or changing your mind. But you're just that hungry. You would do anything, you know. And first and foremost, the Most High Yah is where your belief has to be. You know, a lot of us, we do rely upon Shepherd, upon His anointing, upon His direction, His counsel, everything that's in Him. We put our trust in that. That should be coupled with your absolute belief in the Father. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the savior. He's your all in all. You know, so make sure you're just looking at your shepherd as a vessel for the power that the Father can manifest in your life. Does that help or answer, Mother Jennifer?
It does, Sister Ashley. And, you know, I remember when you had talked about requirements, and I believe that was probably a year ago on a sister-to-sister blog talk that you had done by yourself. And I remember listening to that, and it really helped me a lot. Because it helped me to go to the Father and ask Him, okay, Father, what are you requiring of me? And He definitely showed me what my requirement was. And my healing came through because I actually, you know, I had been confessing. I had things that I had confessed to the Father. I confessed every single thing to the Father. But for me, I had to go to my husband. And Pastor Dow had talked about how the man is the barrier. He's the mediator between you and Yah. And so I had to go to him, and I had to confess some things that I had not confessed before. You know, I had received understanding. The Father had given me understanding during a Sabbath message, and I had to go to my elder and confess these things that I had not confessed before. And after that conversation, that's when the bleeding stopped. Now, Elder didn't lay hands on me or anything, but I got set free because I met the requirement. Does that make sense?
Yes, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've talked about it before, like how important it is to, I guess, get to the right person, you know, who you've wronged or you know, it's not about everyone else. It's not about who saw it or who witnessed it. It's not about what they think. It's who you did it to, you know, or who, and she's using a different reference, the mediator, the husband, how important he is in confession as well. But just in all aspects, you know, that's why you keep a heart of repentance. That's why you self-reflect after conversations, you know. You walk away from something that you just talked about or something you just did, and you're self-reflecting because you just don't want to carry anything from day to day burdening you, you know, or holding any sin in your heart. So when you know you've wronged or you know that you're holding something in your heart towards someone, yes, you want to get it right. At the same time, if you haven't wronged that person but you have something in your heart, that's when you talk to the Father and Him alone, you know. And, you know, before my last labor, which would have been, April, I had something that I knew I need. I was so thankful. Thank you, Father, that I need to talk to my husband about this. This is something I tried to bear on my own. And we do that from time to time as women, because you don't want to be that emotional drag in his life. You don't want to be the person that's pulling him down or, you know, misrepresenting him. And but I was really thankful because it brought a lot of freedom to me, and it prepared me for, you know, the trial, the labor, everything that I would go through. And, you know, you just want to obey that still small voice that directs you to continually get things right, to repent. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Very well said. I don't have anything to add, Sister Ashley. I think we've covered this question.
All right. Would we need to confess our sins that were before the faith to our husbands? Someone asks. Would we need to confess our sins that were before the faith to our husbands? Mother Jennifer.
It depends. Sister Ashley, you just have to, you know, this is where it really comes in. You have to have discernment, and you have to have a personal relationship with the Father. There are some things that your husband is going to be able to help you get set free from. You know, maybe past soul ties or things like that. He may know the path that you need to take to get completely free. That is how I got free from past soul ties. But maybe not. I don't know. You know, it really depends. I can't give one answer to that would fit every single woman. Does that make sense, Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. And, you know, confessing your sin to your husband is not necessary unless you know that he's going to be a stable fortress against that sin with you. He's going to give you something in his arsenal to help you resist it. You can't bear it on your own, or it's something you have done to him. But if you're coming to the faith, Jennifer's right. It's a very delicate answer. Because only the Father himself, and he should, the Father should direct you with what you should confess to your husband. It's like the Father is a presence in you that is a constant reminder of something. He's not a condemner of sin. You know, he's not going to thrust you into outer darkness while you're striving to be free. You know, we misunderstand his intentions. You know, the intention of the Father's correction or the intention of the Father's direction or why you should confess your sins is all for the benefit of your growth and your freedom that he wants to give you here and now. So you check every voice. You know, if you're condemned over your past and the things that happened to you prior to the faith, and that condemnation is leading you to confess to your husband, that's unnecessary. You know, so that's what she means by it. So it's a, you know, a question that your heart needs to discern. And then if you have any more a private question, you know, I would suggest reaching out, calling the dining hall, connect with somebody. We have a really awesome network of sisters that connects with one another based on what your need is. So if you have an exact thing that you need to talk about, some sins are very weighty. Some affect him and his soul or affect your marriage greatly. And we would not, as women, misguide you. So very good question. Hey, I'll give a moment. I'll go to a break. And if we don't have any phone calls, we'll go ahead and call it. I'm excited about the dry bones. That's what's on my mind. As I said, I'll just stay tuned to social media as close as I can to try to keep up with this current weekend. Keeping our shepherd in your prayers, please. Hallelujah. He's a righteous man doing a righteous work. All right, let's go to a ministry break.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. LLINGTON. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled LAFAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Going to the phone calls. Going to North Carolina. Sister Julia, Sister Hope. Area code 910, you're live.
Shalom, Shalom. Mother Jennifer.
Bless you. Move around a little bit. We got some popping going on. Is that your phone? Your landline?
It was kind of choppy earlier. I'm not really sure. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, go ahead. Let's try it. Go ahead.
Okay, blessings to the Most High, y'all. I am so very thankful. We'll keep this short and sweet. This Shabbat, my sisters, and I love my sisters, we had a wonderful visitor from Kentucky, had Sister Rachel with us and Brother Will, and I was seeking counsel, and I went for counsel, and I came out with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
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 So I'm very thankful. I'm very hopeful, and I'm lined up to get deliverance and start working on these other parts of me, but I just wanted to call and report.
Hey, we're going to blow shofar, just like we always do, just for you, so all of heaven can rejoice with us, all right? So hold on. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. You shall overcome. Welcome to the fight. Hallelujah. Your name is written down. Be encouraged.
Hallelujah. Bless you.
Bless you.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. I had another call, but lost it, so I'll give you all a moment. We're wrapping it up. Hey.
Sister Ashley, we got a question in the chat room, actually.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It says, can y'all speak on adopting the mind of our husbands so our desires are his? I'm going to repeat it one more time. Can y'all speak on adopting the mind of our husbands so our desires are his?
Hallelujah. That's a great question. Mother Jennifer, go ahead.
That is a great question. You know, Sister Ashley, when you first come into covenant with your husband, with your master, you learn him. You learn the things that he likes and you learn the things that he does not like. I even had a sister come to me one time and she said, you know, it's like I learn him and then things change. It's like it seems like, well, she used the word inconsistent. I said, well, learn the inconsistencies, you know, learn the changes. Everybody changes. Learn what those things are. Learn what he might like one day or what he might not like another day. But most of all, you know, like Sister Hope just called in and said she had received the Holy Spirit, you will have the same mind with your master if you are tapped into the Holy Spirit. If he has the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, you definitely have the same mind. So you're going to know you know, everything is just going to flow according to Yah, and it's going to be by the book. There's one mind, and you have to remember that the mind of Christ is not an unstable mind at all. So you share that mind with him. Let this mind be in you, and you will have his mind. I hope that makes sense. And I know it seems really simple, and it sounds a lot more simple than what it really is. Sister Ashley, does that make sense?
It does. And sometimes I know when we say learn the mind of your husband, you might think, okay, you're going to learn what he likes, what he don't like. Like, he likes coffee, he likes it black, and he likes chicken fried. That, you know. But there's a lot more to it than that. Of course, those things are pleasing to him, but you actually learn when to present the things that would please him, when to uplift his spirit, you know, when to make him smile because he's not, when to stay out of his face because he's not so happy, you know, not to agitate him, not to pile on to him right after work. Actually, Sister Diane, bless her, taught me that years ago. You know, it was something that, you know, early married was not a consideration, like, oh, hey, how you doing, and you want to talk. Maybe he wants to. Maybe he don't. There's no rejection. There's nothing personal to it. So you're actually learning, you know, when and how and what and not really worrying about the mess-ups along the way because you're doing them with a whole heart, you know. Not that that's not going to affect you because, no, you don't want to mess up and, no, you don't want to discourage him, but even your effort is going to keep his love for you. And I speak to those now, kind of changing it up a little bit. I speak to those who are married to believers, and those of you who are married to unbelievers, I can't relate to because you know that I'm married to a deacon. But you also, for me, I learn how to apply his personality to mine. Though we are, you know, different, yes, he likes me being more social and he likes to listen, and, you know, I learned that. But actually, I learned his submission, you know. I learned his submission to the ministry, his submission to the shepherd. I learned his fearlessness, his, you know, he's not afraid of what others think. It's not even a thought. Because he knows who he serves. You know, he knows who he has trusted. He knows he's an overcomer. He knows he's going to make it to the kingdom. Like, you rest in his confidence. So, you know, he does not complain. So that's his nature. You know, your complaining or my complaining wouldn't be welcome. You know, it would drag him down. So, you know, you learn personality just as much as you do naturally what he likes to eat or drink or how he wants his pants folded on a hanger. So now we have another question. Can you let us all know how to gain back your sister after a disagreement? What do you do if a sister doesn't want to reconcile? Man, that hurts. You want to make sure that the sister that doesn't want to reconcile is not your accusation against her. That's first and foremost, okay? Because if it's a perceived she doesn't want to reconcile, then okay, that's one thing. That's one aspect. Number two, is it because you really did something that you need to regain her trust? Like, consider her. Maybe what you said and did really penetrated. Like, it's taken her a little while to, you know, we got to regain some ground here. We're not jumping back buddies just because we're calling on Christ. We got to fight this thing out. You know, love endures. It prevails. So what do you do, Jennifer, if the sister doesn't, like, legitimately doesn't want to reconcile or add any thoughts to my previous statements?
Sister Ashley, first, before I go into that, I want to say that is very good. What you mentioned about make sure it is not your accusation, like make sure that she legitimately does not want to reconcile. So if she has used the words, I don't want to reconcile, if she's been that blunt, if she has said, stay away from me or whatever, because, you know, we're so driven by emotions and feelings and, you know, so driven by rejection that we think that people are rejecting us, but they're really not. So, okay, if she legitimately wants nothing to do with you, then you need to go and seek the Father about what you have done. You know, what your part is. Don't go to him in accusation against her. Oh, Father, she doesn't want anything to do with me. Don't go like that. Go and really ask him to search your heart as far as your faults are concerned in that relationship. what you have done. Father, what have I done so that I can properly repent? Don't go to him and say, Father, forgive me for what I've done in this relationship, because that's such a passive repentance. You know, it means nothing, because you haven't even specifically stated what your faults are. You haven't even owned up to your own faults. Sometimes there's a sister, if there's a relationship between you and a sister, and you have done something to breach that relationship, there may need to be some space. That sister might need time and space so that she can actually heal. So in that time, you go to Yah, you ask him to forgive you specifically for what you've done to wrong her, and you ask Yah to bless her. Okay, so if you have spoken accusations against her, if you've cursed her in your heart, your mind, or even with your words, you ask him to forgive you for those words, and you ask him to really bless her, and you mean it. You really, really mean it. Ask him to show you how to love her, how to restore her, and, you know, that is your prayer. You focus on her in your prayer time, and you ask him to really restore her heart. And you ask him to reverse anything that you have spoken over her. And that is one of the mature ways to reconcile that relationship. And then you give her time to come back to you. You know, you give her time. You don't need to be all in her face. But you also don't need to just completely withdraw yourself because you're rejected. So there's a balance in it that comes in maturity. Does that make sense, Sister Ashley?
It does. Be willing to take payback if you've wronged someone, you know, and you don't take payback. You take it patiently. You know, you don't take it arrogantly. You don't take it boldly or making a scene or dragging out your face or, you know, speaking behind the scenes about it. You really are taking it to yourself. Any man have faith, have it to himself, right? So you're actually saying, I'm going to honor all men. I'm going to be kind. So what does Ephesians 4:32 say? Hallelujah. Good question, dear. So we'll get there in just a second. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Man, can somebody say, I've not been tenderhearted? You know, and really, really get there, long for it. Say I'm not that, and that's what I need. Tenderhearted. Suffer with love. Suffer with forgiveness. Suffer. We don't got to run around and tell somebody we're suffering. You know, we don't got to run around and, you know, what's the word say? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So I don't need to go and speak to anyone what she's doing. I tried. She didn't hear me. I did this. She didn't get it. You know, so just literally keep these things to yourself. You and Yah, you and Yah. One day in your near future, it's going to be you and Yah plus nothing. You know, when all these other avenues are literally stripped from your life with the way that we're going. So it's you and Yah. So you're practicing now letting no bitterness, no evil speaking, no clamoring, no malice come out of your vessel towards this person. And you're forgiving one another easily. So if I need to suffer with forgiveness, I will. If you wrong me, I quickly forgive. You know, wrong me, quickly forgive. Cycle. Wrong me, quickly forgive. You know, I don't gotta punch you, retaliate, hate you, despise you. None of that needs to even be in your heart. You're not, if you tell yourself, I'm not deserving of anyone's worship. You know, I'm not deserving of someone's special attention. It's not about me. And that'll just, you'll start to let things go. You really let things go. What is your idea of this reconciliation needing to look like anyway? Is it realistic? You know, am I longing to have this best buddy and it's just not going to happen? Right? Because there's all sorts of different, you know, manifestations of friendships in our sisterhood. So right here it says, in the chat room, Mother Jennifer, is that an example of suffering self or buffeted for your faults? It's what an example of suffering? She probably typed that in right when I was saying something, and then I blew right past it. It's what an example of suffering?
I think she was talking about the if you've wronged a sister, and I think you said be willing to suffer. if you've wronged somebody. So she asked, is that an example of suffering self-buffeted for your fault?
It could be, because Paul's talking about taking things patiently when you have wronged someone, right? You went through that trial, you did someone wrong, now you're taking it patiently. All right, so you flip it, you didn't do anything wrong, this person's acting like you did or mistreating you or whatever your mind may say. Paul says it's godliness to be buffeted for your faults, to actually take it just as patiently as if it is something you did. You know, and you do, in character, want to be a woman that's like that. Okay, so whether I did it or I didn't do it, I want the exact same response, honor. You know, whether I did it or didn't do it, I want to be patient, because Paul says that's godliness. And so, you know, living communally, that's helped me attain my goals, because you have a lot of relationships and a lot of friendships, you know, a lot of sisters, a lot of people that you come in contact with. So that's what gives me my understanding. So actually applying that, what Paul has said, to my life and allowing it to be a part of me. All right, so we're going to area code 254, Texas/North Carolina, Sister Aviz. Shalom. Welcome to the show.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear. Thank you for calling in. What's on your heart?
Hallelujah. Bless me, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer. I had called earlier and hung up, but then I was led to call back again. All praises to the Most High Yah, and I'm going to go straight to the point. Clarity on confessing sins to Yah, confessing faults to one another. And then, is there another aspect of confessing which has to do with agreeing with what the word says about who we are and how desperately wicked our hearts are? But if you can give clarity, this is a three-part question. Did you get it okay?
I think so. I took down some notes. Thank you for your question. Thanks for calling back in.
All right. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Hopefully my notes will keep it consistent and give her a great answer. If not, you know you can call right back. All right, so we're talking about confessing sins. Mother Jennifer, she wants to know about confessing sins to the Most High. So we'll do that first. Maybe let's just start with the basics and the foundation. How do we confess sins? And, you know, Mother, pause for that, because maybe the question legitimately means, I don't know what sin to confess. Like, I'm trying, I don't even know what's right or wrong or good or evil, so I'm just trying. I'm trying to pull out stuff, trying to go back in my mind and my memory to figure out what I've done. So let's bring it all down to the desperation that we need for repentance, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, one thing that I always keep in mind when I'm confessing things to Yah, confessing sins, is I always ask Him for forgiveness for unknown sins. Not only do I ask for forgiveness, but I ask Him to show me the unknown sins that are in my heart, the things that I don't understand, the things that I'm blind to that are in my heart. Show me those things so that I can properly confess those. These are the things that David prayed, you know, when he said, search me and try me, you know, to search our hearts and see if there is any wicked way in us, and to lead us in the way that is everlasting. So these are the things that we don't understand or we don't know that reside in us, the unknown sins, the presumptuous sins. These are the things that we ask Him to reveal. So these are the sins that we, you know, Sister Ashley, I confess everything to Yah first and foremost, and then He'll reveal to me if I need to go to a brother or a sister or whomever it is. But first and foremost, I have to go to Yah because I've done it to Him. So if I've committed a sin against Sister Ashley, I've committed it against Yah as well. I've done it unto Him. So I have to go to Him first and foremost. But then He's going to lead me in that and let me know what my next step is. Do I need to go to Ashley? Do I need to confess to her? A lot of times I think, you know, you can go and confess something, but not really mean it, because your heart has not truly been submitted to the Most High Yah. If you go to Him first, He will set your heart right. He will get your heart to the point of you know, where it needs to be before you even go to your sister or your brother or whomever you've wronged. He will make sure your heart is in the right place so that your confession actually means what it needs to mean. Does that make sense, Sister Ashley?
Makes perfect sense. So, you know, I'm going to the Father daily, continually, always, you know, forgive me for hidden iniquity that I don't even know about. Forgive me for the thoughts that I didn't catch or cast down. Forgive me for the accusations that I believe, you know, that are not true. Forgive me for denying your word in my way or my speech. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You know, you're allowing the word to become your life by saying, man, forgive me that your law is not in my heart. I mean, that's a good place to start, right? Forgive me that I don't know you. Forgive me that I don't love my sisters, don't even know how to manifest it. Forgive me that I quickly accuse her, you know. Just so many endless things that you can constantly, it'll become a part of you, not because of vain repetition, but because you sincerely mean it. And what happens when you have the Holy Spirit is if those things come up throughout your day that you just confessed, you know, hey, I just confessed hidden iniquity that I didn't know about. So, boom, it's going to come to my mind later on or later that week or on Shabbat during the message because I'm talking to Yah about it, and it's going to stand out. And the Father's going to go, you know, he's going to bring that light bulb and says, ah, that's what it is. Okay, you know, thoughts I didn't catch, thoughts I didn't cast down. I learned that from Mother Carol. Thank you. I was like, thank you so much. You know, some of the things that she enters into prayer about, and I'm not adding words into her mouth, but just knowing, you know, learning little lessons from her along my way, just really humbling yourself at his feet. So that kind of is her three-part question. We'll jump to the third part because she says, knowing who we are and how, you know, imperfect, though perfect in the state we're in, but how flawed we really are, how desperate we are, you know, it's a continual, it's when you lay yourself at his feet, it's the mind that you have that knows the state you're in, but not because of condemnation, but because of his glory, and because he deserves praise, and because he deserves you to live your life changed and transformed. He deserves, you know, going back to the other question, if this sister is making you go through anything, she won't let you reconcile. He deserves to be glorified in that. I'll take this, Father. I love her, despite what she says or does. I'll love her, you know. That's Christ's nature. So let's jump to that, Mother Jennifer. Going to him, knowing who we are. Woe is me, right, as the prophet said, a man of unclean lips amongst the unclean people. We're not going to him clean ever. That's never a focus. We're always saying, I'm in great need. Go ahead.
Right. We are in great need, and we understand that we need the blood of Jesus to speak on our behalf. We never come to him in an arrogant way at all. We always come in need, not in a selfish way, but we have to come to him in a way understanding and knowing first and foremost who he is and who we are. And the fact that we need to be cleansed and clean so that he can even bend his ear to hear our requests. You know, we don't need to be haughty and think that, okay, he's automatically just going to hear me. I can just come any kind of way. No, we are in great need of him to really clean us up so that we can truly come into his presence the way that he requires. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So confessing one to another. Honestly, the one to another is really just when you wrong them. You know, you got something in your heart towards somebody. Y'all's exposing your jealousy that you have towards someone else. You don't have to confess anything to her. But what if your jealousy drove you to do or say something or to treat her a certain way? You're still not going to her and saying, I've been jealous of you, so I did this. You're just saying, man, please forgive me that I did this. You know, you're taking the intimate details to the Father, and then I'm not wanting to, you know, teach you wrong or put words in your mouth either, because maybe that's a conversation that'll come up between you and her. Maybe it will come out of your mouth. Maybe that's something that you will discuss. But just trying to generally give you an idea. confession of your sins, what that does when you have to go to someone and say, I apologize, it binds you because you are letting them know that you don't want to repeat it. And so it's going to bind your behavior to be upright and more holy, right? So that we will be examples as believers through our speech, through our behavior, through our love, through our faith, that we would strive to be pure. So you're saying, I am flawed and I messed up. So deny your pride, you know, deny any I feel this way or she may feel that way. I got to get this right. I mean, I've at least on two occasions apologized to every sister here in the open, in an open setting. Mother Jennifer, you ever had to do that in a meeting in Georgia or a sister's chat or something?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to go back. You had talked about not including the intimate details because I believe that is truly key, the intimate details to whatever led you to the sin that you committed or your offense or your accusation or whatever. You don't need to include that because it may cause that particular sister to stumble. You know, she can't even hear your repentance because she's thinking about, really, when did I do that? I mean, when did I even do this? That's what she's thinking. You may run across sister who is not mature enough to take the intimate details, your accusations, or whatever it may be, in a mature way so that she can really help you. So the intimate details need to be left out a lot of times. You know, we need to just come and own up and fess up. Okay, I allowed myself to be offended, and I need help. You know, just please forgive me. Forgive me for holding this offense in my heart against you. We don't need to hear that I'm offended because you did this 2 months ago on this day, and this is what you said, and this is what you did. You know, these are all your own accusations that are coming out. So we've got to get to a point of maturity where we can truly come wanting to be healed, wanting to be set free, and not just coming up with a slick way to throw in, you know, these accusations against someone else. And, yes, Sister Ashley, it is, there's a level of maturity that takes place if you have offended somebody and you need to apologize or repent openly or whatever it may be, then you do it openly and you move on. You know, there's so much maturity that really takes place in that. You're not offended by it at all, but you just want to make sure that you have not hindered a group of people. So that's why you do it in an open way. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Do it in an open way. And, you know, that's for most of you, you're not going to battle that or have to deal with that, potentially if you're not in a fellowship and you're just off on your own. But just, you know, store it in your mind. Store it in your arsenal in case it ever comes a time. You know, I thought of the set your affections on things above Scripture and not on things of the earth. Because it also says, Colossians 3:5 says, mortify your members, which are upon the earth. Okay? So let's think about mortifying your members. What are you going to do? You're going to mortify the pride in you. You're going to mortify the resistance in you, the betrayal in you. You're going to mortify every feeling and get past it to conquer these sins, to go to the Father boldly to the throne of grace, and to go to the person that you've done wrong. So as you do that, you can't allow anyone's response to deviate what your sincere desire was, which was to get things right. So a response or a reaction or a face or how they look or carry themselves or any of that doesn't dictate how Christ feels, right? Christ is acceptive. He's forgiving. He's sincere. He's loving. He's going to accept your repentance, because that's what you knew you needed to do. And so you're not really relying on another sister's acceptance. That's if you really are changed and you're really meeting requirements and you're making, you know, your footprint is saying that I'm doing something different than I've done to you before. So if ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, right? It says, Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So you have to constantly remind yourself how the mind of Christ, you know. So mortify your members, constantly, constantly denying the flesh that wants to pull you back to earth and say that, you know, I'm an overcomer. I will be healed. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. I'm loved by him. If all men hate me, if I got to go, I'll go alone. You know, so you really begin to encourage yourself and really strengthen your mind. When you know that you're bringing forth fruit unto righteousness and you know you're striving with all your efforts, all you can do is say hallelujah. All right, Mother Jennifer.
I wanted to, you know, just say one more thing about the relationship between sisters. Is that you want to make sure that all excuses are removed, that there is, you know, we have to remember that love suffers long. There's not a valid accusation that the enemy can hold against you when, you know, he's going before the Father about you, all these accusations. So you want to make sure that you remove all excuses. So if you have wronged someone, you need to deal with that. And, if you don't think you have, then you need to go to the Father, just like we've instructed, and really ask him to forgive you on the things that are unknown, the things that you've done that you don't understand, that are hidden in your heart. Sister Ashley?
Even if the accusation that you have in your heart towards someone, she looks a certain way at you, he says a certain thing, if you say something, you notice a behavior pattern, you get these accusations, you hear it, you see it, it's obvious, they're battling something, whatever. You're still saying, even if the accusation's true, it's still not something I'm going to think on, Father. Think on these things, right? Whatsoever is just, holy, pure, just, righteous, virtuous, if there be praise, that's what I want to think of. So you just constantly cast it down. If it becomes a nagging oppression, if it becomes a torment to you, then you need deliverance. But if you're just saying, you know, yes, I noticed this. Yes, Satan's bringing this to my mind, but I'm taking it to prayer and saying, I'm going to love, you know, past all faults, past all faces, past all behaviors. I'm going to love. Christ did it. I'm called to that kind of behavior too. So hallelujah, even if the accusation is true, remember, it's still not something you need to think on. It's very fruitless. I say fruitless to Christ's kingdom, but for Satan, you'll be a representative of him. Hallelujah. All right, let me go back to my chat room. Do we got any questions? We got a New York City number. Hallelujah. Let's go to area code 716. 716, New York. Shalom, you live?
Yes, this is my doctor.
I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Maya Jackson. Can you hear me okay?
Maya, yes, ma'am. You were just a little bit low, a little clearer now. Thanks for calling in. What's on your heart?
A lot of things. I was very nervous to call you guys. I've been introduced to this by my brother. One day we were just reading the Bible, and I was just asking him, can you show me where it says where we can't eat pork? And I just started reading, and that just convicted me to throw away everything that was pork in my house. And that's the first thing that I've did. And the second thing I tried to do was try to get my, I call him my husband now, but try to get my boyfriend more into this. And he's still on the worldly side. Like, he still celebrates birthdays and still does a lot of ungodly things. So I just try to learn more about this as time goes by. Like, I celebrate the Shabbat day every week on Saturdays, but sometimes I'll have to either go to the store or clean up a mess upon his request. And sometimes I feel like I'm just being brought back into the world because of the things that I'm supposed to do for my household and for my husband. So I'm a little overwhelmed with that. I am going to try to fast this weekend. I really don't know how that works or how that goes, really. So I'm just trying to see where I can start more getting into this. Like, I wear the head coverings, long dresses. I don't work on Saturdays. And now I'm just trying to see, like, what's my next step on trying to change from my worldly ways into, you know, the sister ways, if that makes sense.
Yes, ma'am, it does. Maya, correct?
Yes.
Maya, thank you for overcoming. Thank you for calling. So I want to share Deuteronomy chapter 4 with you. Read it if you don't mind in your own time, only if you desire. But it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. And he's talking to Israel, okay? This is a people that you are saying, I am. These are the laws that you're saying, I will do, okay? You're coming into a covenant and saying, I will follow. And it is very new, so you're going to have a lot of questions. But every day should be growth for you, every day, okay? It says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh our Elohim, or the word says, Lord my God, has commanded me that you should do it in the land where you go to possess it. I'm getting to a point. It says, keep, therefore, and do them. And that's your question, really. You're like, man, what should I be doing, right? It says, for this is your wisdom. This is your understanding in the sight of the nations, all right, which so happens to be the people that are close to you and those around you. It says, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So that's kind of one, that's a testimony that you want to have for somebody in your life to go, wow, she has definitely changed. She is a wise and understanding person, you know, or changed her ways to conform to a wise and understanding people. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, what nation is there that is so great who has Yah, so God, so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Right? So they're really exalting this God. And last verse I'm going to read to you says, what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And so you're coming into this and you're saying, this is like, whoa, this is new. There's a lot to it. I want to know. And we want to give you answers. But we also want you to really cultivate your relationship with this creator, our creator that you just found. We want you to fall in love with him. We want you to follow him and his voice and what he says. We want you to long for his Holy Spirit. So you're going to want to change your behavior. One of the biggest things, of course, that women have to do is we have to change our speech. The things that you've always said, you can't say anymore. The foul language that you've always used, you can't use anymore. The music that you've always listened to, you have to deny it, you know? The swag you may have when you're showing your body, when you're walking, you gotta stop, you know? So little behavior things, little body mannerisms are really going to glorify the Father. You're going to glorify the Father through those things. And Mother Jennifer, please add.
You know, very good advice, Sister Ashley. I wanted to read something in 1 Peter 3. In verse 1, it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, the word conversation means the way you live, the lifestyle. So everything that Sister Ashley just laid out, the things that you're going to change about your lifestyle because you're following this way now is going to win your husband over. And it says that it'll win him over without the word. I mean, that is a huge impact. So your lifestyle is going to be so impactful that you'll win him over without the word because you'll actually be living it. Does that make sense?
And that makes so much sense. And it's funny that you say that because last week during our Shabbat, my husband asked me, he was like, I can't believe we're still doing it. Like, you're still doing this? And I'm like, he's starting to know, like, this is what I want. This is perfect for me. I don't want this worldly, you know, I don't want the worldly Maya anymore. I want the sister life. I want to be covered. And that's, like, the way that you guys live is perfect, and that is, my ultimate dream is to become one of you. Like, I have a lot, like, right now I'm trying to stop smoking Black and Mild, and it's really, really, really hard for me. And I think I need, like, mental help with that. And I also have a problem with smoking marijuana. I do want to get help with that, too, because I feel like I don't deserve to be in you guys' presence if I'm still smoking or drinking or doing unholy things. So I'm just trying to cut it all out. Like right now, I'm trying not to smoke while talking to you, and I'm sweating, I'm hot, and I'm shaking. And it's like, is right there in front of me, but I'm not trying to light it because I'm on the phone with righteous people, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to, you know, work on myself so maybe it'll, like, pass over towards my husband. But at first it was like he was trying to please me by getting into this, and I would just told him, like, just do it because you want to, not because you see me doing it. You know what I mean?
Hallelujah. So just to apply what Mother Jennifer is saying, too, you want to be righteous in your responses. So whatever choice he decides to do, however he's doing it, don't give any back talk about it. Okay, so if he says, hey, I'm going to do this because you're doing it, yes, sir. You know, and if he doesn't want you to call him yes, sir, don't say yes, sir. You know, you're learning a new man. He's learning a new woman. And so you have different desires. Also in 1 Timothy 2:8, it says that I want women to enhance their appearance with clothing that is modest and sensible, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, expensive clothes. And the word says that you would make yourself attractive by doing good. Okay, so you're going to be doing good. You're going to be holding back a lot of what you would say. And I appreciate your reverence for our Father, or the reverence of the Father that's in us, that you would hold back on smoking just even while you're talking. So if you want a sister or a friend or someone that could mentor you, reach out, call the number behind Pastor Dow, and we can definitely hook that up. That's something that we try to do, maybe not for everyone, but definitely as many as we can. And it's baby steps. If you want to deny your addictions and you really want to change, then you're going to go to the Father with confessing the voids you have in your life, the rejections you have in your life, the reasons why you smoke, you know, all the emotions that you suppressed by taking a hit, you know. So it's don't be overwhelmed, okay? Don't be overwhelmed. Don't condemn yourself. Be thankful he's brought you to this truth and take it very serious, my sister. Establish righteous relationships and keep yourself very humble, okay?
Okay.
Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name, Maya. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much for listening to me. I really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Sister Ashley, that's such a beautiful call. You know, when you listen to the intent of her heart is truly pure, and there is a holy, righteous fear of the Father that it's just beautiful. It really is. I enjoyed that call.
Me too, and one of my favorite verses, and I can kind of end tonight with this thought, is all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. I visualize that sometimes, and I could just shout. I get really, really excited. Let us not ever forget the Father's intention for each of us, which is to clean us now, here and now, you know, to be merciful here and now, to make changes now, to get it right now. Hallelujah. And offer a warm hand of sisterhood to her. Glory, she's in the New York area. We'll see how it goes. Maya, we hope this is not your last time calling or your last time listening. Bless everyone in Texas for all the planning that you've done, for anything that you're going to do for our shepherd and his family, for the saints. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you to everyone who loves the Straightway Truth Ministry. And we are just going to press on. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.